Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Grupo Herdez's second quarter 2017 results conference call. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. Please refer to the detailed note in the company's press release regarding forward-looking statements. I would now like to turn the call over to Mr. Gerardo Canavati, the company's chief financial officer. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Derek. Good morning. For today's call, we will start with Grecia Dominguez from Investor Relations, who will provide an overview of performance in the quarter. Then Andrea Mozorrutia, Head of Corporate Finance and Treasury, will go through our financial strategy. And lastly, I will wrap up our call before we take any questions you might have. Grecia.
Thank you, Gerardo. Performance remained strong in the second quarter with a sustained and healthy pricing strategy that helped maintain our gross profit. Net sales in the quarter grew at a double-digit rate to $4,876 million, compared to the same quarter last year. We achieved strong sales growth across all our divisions. Preserves was primarily driven by continued upward pricing actions, but volume was solid in the low-digit range. Frozen benefited from a same-store sales growth in Nutrisa, and exports achieved higher volumes across regions. By channel, food service, wholesalers, and convenience show a robust performance, while canned tuna, homestyle salsa, pasta, and tea surpass average sales growth due to higher pricing, new advertising campaigns, and innovation initiatives, three of which I will be sharing with you now. First, we launched a campaign called Por un Mundo Más Vivo, aimed at promoting responsible consumption habits through placement of cans recycling machines at one of our most important client stores. Collected cans will be converted into heaters to be installed in the Mazahua community at the end of the year, and in coordination with our sustainability program, Saber Nutrir. Supported by a digital strategy, the campaign collected nearly twice the volume of cans expected, while at the same time managed to increase our levels of sales by 5% with this store. Second, we are creating innovative product strategy around unique opportunities among our most stringent and demanding consumers. As our youngest consumers are more and more shifting from the traditional cup of coffee to enjoying a good cup of tea, McCormick launched a special selection of tea products. Instead of the traditional regular tea we all have grown to know in Mexico, we are now offering five different new flavors to choose from. We are excited to be among the first ones to offer triangle-shaped fabric tea bags, which allow tea lovers to enjoy its exquisite flavor and scent at its best. I am delighted to report that in the quarter, our tea sales grew 49%. And third, we launched a campaign in the quarter aimed at educating the consumer about tuna. Through the use of audiovisual materials, we share about our quality and responsible standards in selecting, processing, and packaging the tuna until it reaches our consumers' kitchens, as well as educated them on tuna's traditional value. This campaign successfully helped us to earn 4 points in market share, even with a differentiated pricing strategy. Consolidated gross profit increased by 10.1%, totaling $1,934 million, while the margin remained stable at 39.7% due to the pricing actions implemented in the last 12 months. Consolidated SG&A relative to net sales dropped 190 basis points to 25.9%, driven by 80 basis point decline in Preserve and a 7.3 percentage point decline at Nutrisa. EBIT in the first quarter totaled $687 million, 27.4% higher than the last year, while the margin recovered 1.9 percentage points to 14.1%. The increase in EBIT resulted from a healthy top-line growth, as well as SG&A reduction across divisions. Net financing costs reached $182 million due to an exchange loss of $31 million and an interest expense increase of $40 million compared to 2016. The foreign exchange loss derived from intercompany loans, while the higher interest expense was related to market conditions and one-time loans prepayment fees. Equity investment in associates totals $152 million, only 41% higher than the last year. The above is explained by the 4.4 percentage points decline in the EBITDA margin of Megamex due to historically high prices of avocado and the impact of a co-packer product for Don Miguel. Our pricing increase and supply stabilization for avocado, together with product rationalization at Don Miguel, should allow us gross margin to recover in the following quarters. Lastly, consolidated and majority net income increased by 15.9% and 24.8% compared to the same period in 2016, respectively. With that, I will now turn the call over to Andrea.
Thank you, Grace. As we discussed at the beginning of the year, our financial strategy is focused on implementing the right tools and strategies to provide as much visibility, stability, and flexibility as possible to our business. As a result, during the quarter, we improved our debt profile in order to have certainty on the cost and increase its maturity. On May 30, we issued 3 billion pesos in 5 and 10-year local bonds in the Mexican Stock Exchange. The transaction was oversubscribed 3.6 times and was allocated among a diversified investor base. The proceeds were used to pay down a $70 million bank loan due in 2020, to prepay the 1 billion pesos of the ERDES 13-2 bond due in 2018, and to prepay in July a 350 million peso bank loan. The remainder will be used to pay down the ERDES 10 bond in September of this year. As a result of all the above, the average life of the company's debt shifted from 3.5 to 6.4 years. It is all peso denominated and its average cost is 8.4%. In addition, during the quarter also, ERDES del Fuerte capitalized all of its Grupo ERDES and Grupo Cuo related corporate debt, thus effectively reducing the consolidating debt of Grupo ERDES by 1.3 billion pesos. Considering this capitalization and the debt payment made in July, our net debt to EBITDA ratio stands at 1.6 times. Regarding our exposure on cost of goods sold, we have started to hedge our exchange rate needs for 2018 with a conservative approach considering the recent appreciation of the Mexican peso. On the commodity front, we already have 10 months worth of coverage and will continue to be very disciplined regarding risk management. I will now turn the call over to Gerardo for the concluding remarks.
Thank you, Andrea. Our business remains strong across the board, with a double-digit growth showing that the measures we have been implementing continue to put us on the right track while remaining vigilant on market dynamics. Now let me talk about our growth behind the frozen division this quarter. Nutrisa is back on track. We had a great quarter. Traffic at our stores that opened in the last 12 months increased by 13%. We continue driving top-line growth while improving profitability. In the last quarter, we closed 19 stores and continue to rationalize SKUs as we innovate with new products, such as our Greek frozen yogurt with higher protein. To give you an example, the launch of the Berry Greek frozen yogurt sold more liters than our initiatives in the past year. Helados Nestlé sales grew double-digit as we opened new routes. Danesa 33 has become a fun brand and is increasing its awareness. Total ice cream market share in modern trade reached a two-year high. We expect to see additional profitability improvements in this division going forward. Free cash flow in the quarter was $450 million due to lower capex than guided. This quarter, we launched our new jarred salsa line in San Luis Potosí, which increased our capacity by 146% to serve Mexico and the U.S. growth and innovation in this category. As Andrea mentioned, we have prepared our balance sheet with a very prudent strategy, eliminating unnecessary risks and securing funding in order to seize growth opportunities going forward. We are maintaining our forecast for the remainder of the year. This concludes our prepared remarks for today's call, and at this point, we are ready to open the line and take any questions you might have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to signal for a question. We'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. And our first question comes from Philippe Euphros with Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone, and thank you for the space for question. I guess my first one is around the frozen division. It was a very good quarter for the division, so we wanted to ask you a little more detailed about some more details about the execution of the turnaround for Nutrisa specifically. Seems like you had a strategy of halting the expansion while the current operations were reconfigured, and the margins obviously show that the plan is working. So let me ask you a few questions around this. Is this the sustainable long-term margin that you expect for the seasonal quarters for the 2 and 3 Qs of every year? Or do you expect more or less in the coming years? And I guess that now that the operation is more stabilized, can you comment about the growth plans and how we should think about the business going forward? And if you can also give us an idea of whether you will be more inclined towards franchising or a self-operating model. Thank you.
Good morning, Felipe, and thank you. Definitely, this margin is not where we want to be. Obviously, it is in a restructuring process. Our goal margin would be in the mid to high teens. Now, that will not come from night to day. All the initiatives have been done in two ways. First, driving traffic, as we mentioned in the last calls. Second, we have slashed SG&A and we have made this business more productive. We have increased our productivity in the stores. We are delivering more product, more frozen yogurt by hour. So productivity in the point of sale has increased. We have all the team focus on less initiatives but bigger initiatives. So if you go around our stores, you can see that our communication has changed dramatically. We are more in the experience instead of the product. And also we have downsized our portfolio. We are now focused more on our own brand. So to give you an example, in this year to date, Nutrisa brand in excluding frozen yogurt, I'm just talking about commercial products, it represents 25% of total sales versus 18% last year. So we have a more focused strategy. In terms of expansion, we will continue to open stores, but in a very, very strict profitability measures. We have seen a very crowded market. We have seen that a lot of competitors have arose in this market, and we have seen that our cost of doing business has increased dramatically. So that is driving our profitability or our return on investment lower. So we'd rather have less but more profitable stores. That said, we are increasing our franchise model. We are looking for more operators with experience where we can lever our brand and we can lever their experience in order to grow. We are looking for new markets. We are very concentrated in the center of the country. It is not that simple. It's difficult to enter new markets because you need more local investments. We are willing to do that, but we are still looking for some operators outside the center of the country. So growth of new stores this year is going to be flat. Next year, we are aiming to open between 30 and 35 stores, very targeted. I think that I answered your question.
Yes, absolutely. And maybe if I can do a short follow-up one, maybe on exports. We've been kind of trying to look at this division from the dollar perspective rather than the way you reported in Mexican pesos. And it seems like top-line growth had been suffering quite a bit last year. But it seems like this quarter it hit an inflection point and it's growing again. So maybe if you can comment around what you've done to turn around that operation and what you expect going forward, that'd be great. Thank you.
Well, in our exports, what we're selling in Megamex is doing very good. We have volume growth. As I mentioned previously, salsa in the U.S. is doing fabulous. We are increasing our market share. Erle's brand is becoming mainstream nationwide. We're increasing household penetration. So the slowdown that we experience in exports comes from McCormick Mayo. And because McCormick Mayo is targeted to the Hispanic community, it's more targeted to Mexican specialized formats. And we have seen a slowdown in traffic in those stores across the board in the United States. So that's where the shortfall in volume comes. But remember that McCormick would be about one-third of exports, and the majority would be in our Megamex JV. Yeah.
Okay, that's very clear. Thank you.
Okay. Your next question comes from Luis Miranda with Santander. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good morning, Gerardo, and congratulations on the results. Couple of questions. The first one is in terms of volume. I think that this is the first quarter we start to see some pickup in volume. And I just wanted to ask you if there has been some improvement on a sequential basis and if you are seeing some pickup for the third quarter with the visibility you have right now. The second question is regarding advertisement expenses. It seems that you have been very active in the market in the different categories and including the frozen division. I was wondering if you are expecting to increase in the material where all your promotional and advertisement expenses during the second half of the year. Thank you.
Good morning, Luis. Well, volume growth has not been only in this quarter, Luis. We have been growing volume year to date. So volume growth is growing low single digit, but it has been very firm. We are expecting this to slow down a little bit, but still growing for the remainder of the year. First quarter was very strong in volume. Second was good. And from our sales growth of this quarter, 40% came from volume and 60% came from pricing. So we feel the market is very healthy, and we expect this to continue. We had some shortfalls in volume in category specific, where some of our categories compete with fresh. So considering those shortfalls, we are not expecting to pick up because those are lost sales. In terms of advertising, I think we have been very efficient and effective in advertising. We are not expecting an increase in advertising for the rest of the year, but we would expect a pickup next year in advertising, particularly in frozen, but in frozen we will have a offset between Nutrisa and Helados Nestlé, so we will not be significant.
Thank you, Gerardo. That was very clear.
Your next question comes from Alvaro Garcia with BTG. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the space for questions. Two questions on my end. The first on the frozen segment. We noticed that the number of Nutrisa stores has come down significantly from 493 to 478 this quarter sequentially. And I guess just my first question is coupling the 11% same-store sales growth at Nutrisa and the 11% growth in frozen generally, is it fair to assume that the Nestlé side of the frozen business is still growing in the high teens? That's my first question. And my second question is on avocado prices. And I guess just your general commentary on the elasticity you're seeing at Megamex with Holy Guacamole, any sort of commentary you could provide with regard to pricing there. Thank you.
Your first question, Alvaro, good morning, is yes. Nestlé is growing high double digit in the high teens. It has been growing at that rate for the last 3 years, and it will continue to grow at that rate. And avocado prices, we made pricing actions in the last weeks. So going forward, you would see that gross margin for Holy Guacamole will improve with this price increase. And obviously, as avocado supply stabilizes, we will see lower input costs.
That's very fair. And just one follow-up on Nutrisa. Is it fair to assume that we've hit like a base level of stores in the sense that you have no more store closures ahead of you, or do you envision maybe another batch of store closures?
I think that store closing and opening is a recurrent issue. So we don't expect closures to be more than 10 stores. But sometimes when it depends on that dynamic, because with all the growth in shopping malls, sometimes there's a lot of cannibalization within malls. So I think we will be done with the bulk of closing in the next 12 months.
And then just one last one. On the 11% same-store sales in Madrid, you mentioned traffic is up significantly, but if you could break that down.
Traffic grew 13% in the quarter.
Wow. Okay. Great. That's fantastic. Thank
you
very much.
Same-store sales.
Yep. Thanks.
Enough.
And as a reminder to the audience, that is star one if you'd like to signal for a question. And we'll pause for another moment to see if we have any further questions. And we have a follow-up question from Luis Miranda with Santander. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a follow-up question on frozen. And Harold, I understand that the sales in modern trade for the frozen division, the profitability is lower than on the stores. But I have seen recent activity of very active promotions and very introduction of products. I was wondering if you are seeing any, I don't know, or even a slight improvement or increase in market share within the category in the modern trade.
Yes, Luis. We mentioned in our remarks that our share has hit a 2-year high in modern trade. So we are improving because of our execution within modern trade. We have increased our distribution. We have increased our offering. It's a work in process because ice cream in modern trade is very complicated. So we need to find better ways to execute and to increase volume in take home. But yes, we are improving. significantly.
Any number that you could share about this two-year high, in which level is it right now?
Roughly? In modern trade, we are in the... low to mid-teens.
Perfect. Thank you, Karen.
In modern trade. Now, recall that modern trade is very small in terms of value against DSD.
Exactly. No, that's clear. Thank you.
Okay.
And once again, that is star one for questions. We'll pause for another moment. And it appears we have no further questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you for participating on today's conference call, and we look forward to speaking with you next quarter. Please do not hesitate to contact us if you have any questions in the interim.
And once again, that does conclude today's conference call. We thank you for your